I thought tonight this is the first time that I've done this in a long time. But I thought tonight we might just take a few questions. Occasionally we do it, not very often. But people get questions. They come to me with questions. And I try my best to answer the questions about the best that I know how to answer them. And biblically, to where that you can understand. And people get questions in their mind. Things come in their mind that troubles them. They don't know how to cope with the question. And it troubles them. And unless you can put your faith solid upon some scriptural answer, then you're going to have trouble out of that thing. The devil will just rend you with it. So once in a while, I'll take a question or two and just try to answer it the best that I know how. Concerning answering to every thought and deed. Now that I'm a Christian and trying by God's grace to control my thoughts and deeds, how will I answer to my past life? And what kind of judgment must I receive? Well, this is probably a question that many, many people ask here. First of all, I'm going to say this again. Just take my time and talk to you and try to answer a question to you. Usually when I get started, it's hard to answer more than a couple of questions because we elaborate so much on it. But first of all, let me say this. A lot of times Christians, especially young Christians, they get frustrated in their minds. And the reason they do is because there's so much harassment from the devil in their thoughts. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and you remember what I'm telling you. If you have the idea that you're going to get rid of those thoughts, you might as well forget about it. How have you understood me then? If you've got the idea that you're going to get rid of that harassment, that you're going to live so good, fast so much, you pray so much, you're going to get rid of it, you might as well forget about it. There is no way that you can ever get rid of it or get away from it. And the reason for that is because your body is not yet redeemed. Your body is still in this world. Now, in the foreknowledge of God, your body is redeemed, just like your soul. The price has already been paid. Everything is complete at Calvary. But you are waiting to wit, to recognize, to accept, to come to, or to have the redemption of your body. And the Bible says that change will come concerning Thessalonians' teaching in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. If you do not die before the coming of the Lord, then your body will be changed and you'll never be harassed again in your mind. But you've got to remember that you are born into sin. And you are a child of the first man Adam. And the first man Adam, because of unbelief through the weakness of his wife or the flesh, fell into the power and control of Lucifer. And Lucifer had working through the tree of knowledge, which is your own thinking. Through knowledge, he has you in captivity. He is the prince of this world. Adam was the prince of this world, and Lucifer took it away from him through the weakness of the flesh. And today, Lucifer is the prince of the world, and your bodily parts are made out of the dust, which means that he is over your body and has control of your body, and there is nothing that you can do about it. The whole dispute from the beginning of time, the whole dispute is over the body. That's why the Bible said that Lucifer disputed with Moses or with the angel of God over the body of Moses. He disputed with him over the body. He did not dispute with him over the soul, nor did he dispute with him over the spirit, but he disputed with him over the body. It's like somebody listening to one of our radio programs down in Guyana, down in South America, I believe it was, somewhere down there. They wrote us a letter and said, please send us that tape, the rest of that message on the dispute over the body. I said, Brother Pike, we heard this about the dispute over the body. And it had tore them up so bad. They said, please send us the rest of this message. See, the dispute is over the body. It is over your body. Your body is the thing that the dispute is over. And the reason for it is because God is a spirit. Satan is a spirit. They do not have a body. God does not have a body except your body or the body of the Lord Jesus. Satan does not have a body. That is an angelic world. That is a spiritual world. And there is no human bodies in that world. Not at all. Unless it is something God hath made in this world, like Enoch, and translated by faith into that world. Or like Elijah, or like Moses. They appeared in glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. So then, the dispute is over the body. God made a creation, and you're part of that creation. And I'm part of that creation. God hath made that creation. And God made a human body that related to that creation with appetites of all kind as to human relation, one with another, human reproduction, or as to fruits of trees, as to the cool air, as to the warm sunshine, as to the feeling of the water that splashes over the body. Whatever it is, God hath made that. See, God made your body and God made your appetite. He made your body and He made your appetite of the body so that He Himself could live in the body and relate to all of the act of creation. He wanted to relate to all of the act of creation. He created those things for Himself. You say, Brother Pike, I feel like God created all of this for me. That's true. He did. But before you, it was created for somebody else. The Bible said all things was made by Christ and for Christ. And for His pleasure were they made. And without Him, not anything was made that is made. It was made for Him and for His pleasure. So then God, who is a spirit, wanted to live in the body. And He wanted you to have a filled up, overflowing life, which was the portion of Him. And while you enjoyed that filled up, overflowing life, that He Himself would enjoy His creation through you. And that you would be His children and He would be your heavenly Father. This is what God intended. But there's another supreme power called Lucifer. These are not fairy tales. These are not mystic things. These things, I say, are reality. There's another power called Lucifer. And he also is an angelic power. He is a spiritual being. And through his cunningness and through his craftiness, he deceived man. And he got man's attention. And he took control of man's body. And he entered into man's body. And God lost the body. And Satan has lived in the body, dwelt in the body, worked in the body, controlled the universe. Even the weather and everything through human intelligence. Showing himself that he is the God of this world. The Bible said he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. But with the brightness of the coming of the revelation of the knowledge of God of the Ancient of Days, God will completely destroy the man of perdition. The power that's sitting in the temple. Paul said, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present, but how to perform that which is good, he said, I find not. And so then all of this evil comes forth into the body. You're born with it. That's why you have the harassment of mind that you do. There's no way to get away from it. You know, and I know, that it is as though it is interwoven with your very appetites. The lust of the eyes, the Bible said. The pride of life. These things are interwoven in such a way that it feels as though when these things occur, they're in your taste buds. bearing your very makeup, you know. And they're there. There's nothing you can do about it so far as being born with this. But see what God has done. He has come down in a human body called the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the weakness of your flesh as to perform it, God sending His own Son in the likeness of a sinful human body, a sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh and nailed it to Calvary, taking your transgression out of the way. In that sin is the transgression of the law, and death comes by sin. You are now free from death because you are free from sin, in that you are free from the transgression of the law. For where there is no law, there is no transgression, and the law has been folded up and laid away. Jesus fulfilled it, every jot and tittle. He folded it up, He took it, He laid it out of the way, and today you cannot transgress the law. So you cannot sin against God. So when we think of these things, we remember what the Scripture says. God hath delivered us from these things. He's delivered us from death. He's delivered us from sin. He's delivered us from evil. He that is born of God cannot sin. There is no way you can sin. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, if this body is so wretched, Paul said, a wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I'm a wretch. My thoughts make me rich. He said, because on the inside of me, I want to do good. He said, and I have a will to perform that which is good. I have a will and a desire toward that performance. I have a will unto God that's right and clean and holy, because the Holy Spirit has come on the inside of my heart, and He has sealed my spirit and cut my spirit off from my body by the death of the body of the Lord Jesus. The Spirit goeth back to God who gave it. We're dead unto the body. Our body is dead, and we're dead unto the world by the body of the Lord Jesus, meaning my body is dead to the world. I can't do anything in the world in my body. My body is dead and buried in the name of the Lord Jesus in water. There is not one thing that I can do through the body. I can't sin through the body. I can't do anything in the world through the body. There is no body to me. It's dead. It's gone. My spirit went back to God who gave it at death, and I am hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution of all things, or the coming of the millennium, or the redemption of my body, which is the resurrection of my body, just like those that are in the grave. For my body went down in death and water. And it's there. It's gone. You can't lay anything to my charge. There is no way to lay anything to my charge. So then, I am delivered from the body. I have no sin in that Jesus took my sins away. There is no sin to a Christian. It doesn't matter how much the devil harasses your mind. He will bring everything to your mind from filth as to perversion. He will bring everything to your mind as to the dirty, low-down thoughts that's so scummy that you'd never want anybody to know that you thought that. So you come into the sanctuary. You go into the presence of God. You do these things. And you think, everybody sees me. You know, I'm fine. I'm living right. Everything's just right. You'd never want them to see them dirty, filthy, scummy thoughts. And you know what? If I started tonight and I picked out one at a time and I tried to pick out the ones that wasn't like that, you know how many I'd have left when we got through? Not one. All of you the same. The Bible said God looked down from heaven and He saw the thoughts of men's heart, that it was continually evil. And He said, I'll never destroy man anymore. I'll never destroy the earth anymore. Because He realized it was something that man couldn't help. He said, there is always those dirty, evil, filthy thoughts. He said, His thoughts are continually evil. So then, He went about it a different way. He made a human body. He sent it down into the world. It lived the perfect life. Only Him, God, lived the perfect life, folded the body up, took it away, and He said, from now on, there is no more body. Now listen to me. That's why there is a blood of the seed of atonement today. That's why the blood of the Lord Jesus, the life is in the blood. To preserve life in a bloodstream, God took that blood. He preserved that life in that bloodstream because sin came by one man, Adam, and all men under sin. So then righteousness came by one man, Jesus. And he took his blood as the one man, Jesus, to restore humanity in his sight because it had fallen from his sight through the blood of Adam. The blood of Adam, the fallen one, is therefore called the red dragon. Because it is the blood life, a generation of vipers. Everyone that is on that side of Calvary is considered in the body and in the flesh. And the Bible said if you're in the body or in the flesh, you cannot please God. It is impossible to please God because that body is under a curse. It was cursed in the garden. It's under a curse. See, but if you go on this side of Calvary as to a new birth, a regeneration, then the Bible said when Jesus came forth, he came forth in a new form. He came forth in another form. He appeared unto them in another form. Peter said, as we have borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. If this tabernacle be dissolved, we have another one, eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. That is to say, this tabernacle is an earthly tabernacle in the wilderness wandering of our intellectual mind. But it is dead, it is gone. And now we've crossed the Jordan, and it is not that body of the elders that is dead. That is gone, that is dead. But now it is the youth. It is the crossing of the Jordan. That is to say, you are a little one again. It is the little one that came forth from your heart. Paul said, I travail till the little one is formed within you. Even Christ. So the little one is born, and it goes over the Jordan. And the earth opens up, and the other part is swallowed up. The body is swallowed up quickly. So then, that is why that those that are out in the world have grace. That is why that they can get by with the things that they get by with. That's why a millionaire can live over here on the hill across from you while you are a pauper, especially in Haiti. Go over there and just across the creek. You'll see millionaires living over there and the others over on this side starving. See, the reason they can do that and get by with it is because there is no sin before God in the body. When Jesus died, he'd done away with all of that. And they have the grace of God coming down upon them. They have medical healing. They can go to the doctor. They can go to the dentist. They can make millions of dollars. They can eat and drink. They can be merry. They can have the blessings of God. The rain is upon the just and the unjust. Because there is no sin to God, to humanity. It's all gone. He covered it by the blood. Every bit of it is gone. But that is only a dispensational blessing. It is only a dispensational grace. And the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, God rained fire and brimstone down. The church is the salt of the earth. The very day that the translation or rapture takes place, God will set this place on fire. The earth, that is. See, that is to say, just as soon as you and I, having been born again, coming to the knowledge of the truth, once we are changed, the blood will come off of the seed of atonement, Revelation 8, and sin will then be in the body. There won't be any atonement for it. And he'll look directly at the body, they that are in the flesh, and the judgments of God will be upon them. And to be in the flesh is to be in a certain mind, which is the mind of the flesh, the mind that you're born with. So he tells us not to lean to our own understanding. He tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we find that God has taken away our body, not for a dispensation of time, but he has taken away our body completely. And we now have a new body. Having borne the image of the earthly, the first man Adam, now we're in the mind of God. We've already received as the finished product, as complete in him. God looking to the end of his work, all of his work known unto him from the beginning, looking over our trespasses and sins, seeing us as the finished product, he sees us as bone of Jesus Christ and flesh of Jesus Christ. Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So then we are his wife. We are now his body. God lives in our heart. And we are his by predestination, by foreknowledge, by the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's justified us. He's predestinated us. He's glorified us. He's sanctified us. And no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. We are perfect in His sight. A church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. All because of His grace. Complete in the works of Jesus Christ. And He made us what He wanted us to be by making Jesus that very thing. So we're dead from sin. By His body He became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. So then today we are alive without spot and blemish. And the Bible said the righteous ones, that is the children of God, they keep themselves. And the evil one, that is Lucifer, toucheth them not. Never does he touch them at any time. They're sealed until the day of the redemption of the body. Their spirit is sealed. So all of the thoughts, all of the harassment, all of these things that come against your mind, they are nothing. You can have these thoughts. They can come and overwhelm you. And you can fight for all that you're worth. Paul said, I would do good. I would do good. I want to do good, he said. But he said, I find a law. So this is a law. This is a standing thing. That when I would do good, evil is present with me. I want to think the right thought, but the devil's got the dirty, filthy thoughts present. All the time he's got them there. Everything from degraded thoughts of filth to blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. He's got every thought right there with you. And when you would do good, evil is always present with you. So he said, the good that I would do, I do not. I do not. He said, that is to a bodily performance. I can't get the stuff out of my mind. I can't shake it out. It's like it's interwoven within my very taste buds. He said, and the good that I would, I do not. He said, for I have a will to do good, but how to perform that so that I can't get this body to do right. How to perform that I find not. He said, so then there is a standing thing. There is a continual warfare between my body and my soul. It don't never stop. You'll never get rid of it. It'll never leave you. But this he did say, that by the power of God on the inside of me, by the power of God, I can have faith. I can pray. I can fast. I can get filled with the Spirit. And then I can make war with those spirits. And I can keep on till I conquer those thoughts, to the extent that I can cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And I can bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Not to let sin reign in my mortal body. That God has given me grace sufficient for all my stumblings and all this warfare. To where I can come into this place and I can master that thing by faith. That even though I cannot stop those thoughts from coming to me, yet they won't have any place in my life. They won't have any thoughts. Jesus could not stop them from coming to him. All right, let's just say a few more things. It looks like with what I've already said, this one question, all I'm going to be able to deal with. Let me say this one or two things right quick. Paul said, if you're in the flesh, you can't please him. But he said, ye that are born again, you're not in the flesh. The body's dead. Your spirit went back to God who gave it. You're not in the flesh. So then you're in the mind of Christ. Might be a baby, just growing into the fullness. But you're in the mind of God. Now, you're not the wretched man anymore. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body? He said, this is a death. This body is a living death, he said. Who's going to deliver me from this body? I got a will, and yet I can't make this thing do right. Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? Well, I thank God that what the law could not do, in that it was weak, through the flesh, and that I couldn't perform it. God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the body. Condemned sin in the flesh. That's why the dispute is always over the body. See, the devil is saying, this body belongs to me. And Christ is saying, not this body. I redeemed this body. This body is by foreknowledge my body. And the devil is upset because he's got all human bodies. He's got the world. He lives in them. See, and when the sons of God come to present themselves, the devil that lives in the human body out there in the world, they go to church too. They have to give an account to God too. So then Jesus, see, could not get away from these thoughts. Satan came to him and said, if you be the Son of God. See, these thoughts were striking Jesus' mind. He was standing there thinking, if I'm the Son of God, if you be the Son of God. And then these thoughts would strike in Jesus' mind. So jump off of here. You ever had the devil try to get you to commit suicide? See, the devil was saying, commit suicide. Jump off from here. And it kept striking Jesus' mind. 40 days, no food, striking his mind. Jump off from here, commit suicide. And he said, you don't have to worry. God will take care of you. You know, you're a churchy boy. You know how the devil says, don't worry about it. And then when Jesus, after 40 days of not having anything, there he was, and the devil said, now, if you be the Son of God, you know you're hungry. You know you're hungry. Somebody said, I didn't make but $35 this week. I don't know what I'm going to do. God just won't help me. I'm hungry. My little one's going to go hungry. That's the devil. You know, the devil said, you're just making a little old measly $300 a week and he's making $1,000 over yonder. You see how much God loves him and don't love you? Now, I'm talking about the way he talks to you. Somebody would say, he gets all the breaks. All the breaks. He gets everything. Everything good happens to him. Like an evangelist come through not too long ago and somebody gave me $10,000 in the offering. He was all upset. He got all upset. And ain't nobody never give me $10,000. I could get upset. I could say, well, Oral Roberts gets $100 million. Ain't nobody give me $100 million yet. But see, the thing is, it's where you're at and what you're doing. And I'm doing what I want to do. And I'm wanting it to work like this. I could get $100 million too. I know how to pull the strings too. But I ain't interested in that. See, that's not my goal in life. That's their goal and that's their motive. So they do it and it works. See, the blood is on the seat of atonement. But Jesus couldn't get away from those thoughts. Those thoughts harassed him. If you be the Son of God, you're hungry. Turn these rocks into bread. You know, you got power. You got power? Come on, show off. Let me see it. Somebody said, if you've got it, prove it. Prove it. Somebody said, don't you know that I got a problem here? I'm sick. Prove it. Heal me. You know, one on either side of Jesus and one is saying, Lord, remember me when you come into paradise. The other said, nah, you know what I want you to prove it. Get us down from here. See, prove it. If you be the Son of God, he cried out down there. You said that the Lord would help you. Now let's see if he'll help you. If you be the Son of God, you come down off the cross and now we'll believe you. See, he couldn't stop them thoughts. They were there, folks. They were there. There's nothing that he could do about it. And yet he was the Son of God. Tempted in every way as you're tempted, and yet without sin. Joseph, when the ill-famed woman laid her hands on him and said, come and lay with me. And Joseph tore loose from her. And he refused. He left the garment in her hand. Because he was clean and he was holy. And he said, I'm not going to sin against my master. The one that's put his trust and confidence in me. I'm not going to do that. Had integrity. That's more integrity than the world's got today. He wouldn't touch the man's wife. But see, them thoughts was pounding in Joseph's mind. But that didn't mean he was unclean. That didn't mean that he had sinned against God. That had nothing to do with it at all. Joseph never gave place to those thoughts at all. See, what we want to do is not to give place to those thoughts. When those thoughts come to you, you don't want to give place to them. You don't want to listen at them. You don't want to think on them. You don't want to fellowship them. And when you feel like you're just being overwhelmed by them, there's only one reason. The Bible said if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You're not praying enough. You're not filled with the Spirit enough. You're not staying filled with the Spirit enough to resist that evil. The Bible said resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Tell him to get behind you. Thou art an offense unto me, Jesus said. Get behind me, Satan. See, and with you, it's behind you anyway. Calvary destroyed him. All right, let me say just a few more things and I'm going to try to close. So Jesus was our example. The body is dead. You don't have to worry about the harassment of the mind. You don't have to worry about the lust of the eyes when something passes before your eyes and those things whirl themselves at you. You don't have to worry about that. It has no effect on you. Never touches you at any time. See, the lust of the eyes. But now you can lust with your eyes. You can be enticed. You can be drawn away. You can sin against God. You can go to hell. But I'm speaking of people that are born again and born of the Spirit. You will put up a resistance against them. You'll fight. It is a continual warfare. It is a fight. Now, if you're just going to listen to all of them thoughts, and all of them thoughts are just going to come to you, and you're just going to say, well, praise God, it can't touch me. There ain't no fight to that. The Bible said we wrestle against principalities and powers and evils. We wrestle against it so that we can redeem the body. We're wrestling the body out of the hands of the evil one. And we're taking our body away from him. And we're fighting against him to bring that body out of there. That sin can't reign or rule over our human body. So that we can have control of our body. Because I say again, in that world, that spirits, those are bodiless beings. And you have the opportunity of a body. If you want to be foolish and lose your body, that's you. If you don't want to put up any warfare, if you don't want to fight and lose your body, that's you. But I want my body. See, the dispute was over the body. The angel came down there and said, you can't have Moses' body. See, disputing over the body, my angel on the inside with the strength of Jesus, with the strength of Christ, my angel is disputing with the devil while he tries to get my body. And I'm saying, this body ain't yours. This body's holy. Holy says it's not holy. You're defiled. You know you're defiled. You know all of them things. And he starts with his harassment and his program. And he says, you might as well to give in. Why do that? Why be silly? You know you're as dirty as you can be. I say, no, I'm not dirty. I'm holy. I'm godly. I'm pure because of him. Because of what his work's done for me. And you're not going to defile me. And you're not going to take my thoughts. I'm jealous over my thoughts with a godly jealousy. All of my thoughts belong to him. I'm going to meditate in his laws day and night. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to be godly. I don't care what passes before my eyes. I null it. I say, no, you can't get into my heart. You can't come into my heart. This is God's temple. I want my body. See, so I war all the time, day and night. So I tell you again, friend, you're not going to get rid of that. If you've got some idea that that's going to quit, you're wrong. You can get rid of it. You can put it away from you in the sense of being filled with the Spirit and keeping it out of your life or from controlling your life or reigning in your life. But you can't keep it from coming to your mind. Them thoughts, it'll never be. See, that body has to be redeemed. It has to be changed. One of these days when it's changed, that'll be the end of it. Though God, according to Revelation 12, has cast out the red dragon, which is the bloodline, it doesn't have any control over you anymore because God is looking at the body of Jesus Christ, and your spirit now is in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ by foreknowledge, which body will be seen as to be his body at the change, Thessalonians change, when he comes around. God's already seen you that way. You're already that way. He never sees you in any other body. He never sees the sin of your body. He never sees the thought of them body, that body or those bodies. He never sees that. You're already in his sight, a finished product, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So he sees you over yonder in the finished change, Thessalonians change. So all of this that's in here, he doesn't see that. All of that is dead, buried, and the skin worms is working in that. See all of that. So, as to answer the question, I had to go around this way. How do I then conduct myself? All of that is brought about in what I taught you right here. What I explained to you right here. How do I conduct myself? My faith is in the Word of God. And the Word of God said, he that is born of God cannot sin. And that he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. And that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The man that defileth that temple, God will destroy him. So then ye are God's temple. The body belongs to God. And though the Bible speaks of sinful flesh, it speaks of you as the unregenerated. But when you become regenerated, then by foreknowledge you are his. As to the regenerated, and the body is the Lord's, and it is a holy temple. And all of your stumblings and staggerings, that's why Jesus died, to make up for that and to restore the body, which is the wife, back with the Christ, which is the spirit or the Adam, called the second man Adam, that he might reproduce his own image in his wife. So that's That's the way it is. A lot of things that we could say tonight, just so many multiplied things that we could say tonight. Every sin is without the body. You ever read that in the Bible? Every sin is without the body. And the Bible said every sin is without the body, except the sin of fornication. He that sinneth, the sin of fornication, sinneth against the body. See, every sin is without the body. You say, how can that be, Brother Pike? Because there is no sin to the body. Sin is of the soul. So he said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. He died to do away with all sin of the body. So you can never sin the sin of the body. You can never blame God because your body or creature is subject to vanity. Because he doesn't charge anything against it. But folks, when you sin in that you willfully go on after you've come to the knowledge of the truth, to know the truth and to do it not is sin. And when you come to the knowledge of the truth through the preaching, when all of the world comes to the knowledge of the truth through the preaching of the word, then you don't honor it, you don't obey it, you don't follow it. That's a sin of the soul, not the body. And you die. You're eternally damned and doomed. So then, every sin is without the body. And if you sin the sin of fornication, you sin against your body, because the sin of fornication is with part of your body. In that God said to Adam, this is bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And though the bed of the married is undefiled and all, it's very holy and godly. It's God's way of reproducing as to how to replenish his kingdom. And all have the privilege to it. Yet he says that if you do not do that, and then you partake in those things, you have sinned against your own body, because the woman is made out of your flesh. So every sin is without the body except the sin of fornication. He that sinneth the sin of fornication sinneth against his body. Many things that we could say about this, or many things that we could explain by the things that he tells us. But I think that is sufficient as to say our conduct should be of such caliber as we outlined here in the scriptures. You know now where you are. Why let the devil overcome you? Why let the devil harass you? Why let the devil beat on you? He can't defile you anyway. He that is born of God cannot sin. You said, but Brother Pike, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Sure. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. All them folks are sinners out yonder. In that everyone that comes to the knowledge of God and don't go on with God is a sinner. And they die. And when the blood is taken off the seat of atonement, their soul is in the sin of death. It'll die. All, though they might have been church members or whatever. But he that is genuinely born of God, he's not a living soul. You are born a living soul. He breathed the breath of life into you and you become a living soul. But when you are born again, you are a quickening spirit. You are not a living soul. Living souls is just like beasts. Beasts have souls. Their soul goes down. Even the brute beast out there. Those that's made to be taken and destroyed, their soul goes down. They're damned. They go down into hell. But see, you become a quickening spirit, which means your soul has been changed. And you're now a quickening spirit. And your soul, breath of life, has been preserved forever, eternally. So you cannot sin. Your soul cannot sin. Why fear then the sin of the soul when you can't sin? Somebody said, glory to God, it takes a load off of me, Brother Pike, like you'll never know. From now on, I know that I can do what I want to, and I'll be all right. You could have done it to start with. You could have done it to start with. Anybody with that kind of thinking is of the devil to start with. So you could have done it to start with. I'm talking about children of God, them that love the Lord, that wouldn't do nothing to hurt his feelings for nothing, that would give their life before they'd sin against him. And yet the devil harasses their mind and aggravates them in such a way till it torments the life out of them and keeps their faith down to where they can't do nothing for God. And this preaching is to free you from that, children of God, to let you know that you don't have to worry about that. He ain't done nothing to you. He ain't going to do nothing to you. He's like a bumblebee without a stinger. Let me say this in closing. If transgression of the law is sin, and if the sting of sin is death, and if God destroyed him that hath power over sin, Or if God has folded up the law and laid the law away, if there's no law, then there's no transgression. If transgression of the law is sin, if there's no law, there's no transgression. And if there is no transgression, there's no sin. And if there's no sin, there's no death. So that means that God has plucked the stinger out of death and he's buzzing around. And all he can do is just buzz around and create fear. And that's why Jesus said, don't fear. Every time he would go to preach, teach, heal somebody, he'd say, now don't be afraid. Don't fear. Why would he say that? Because those people didn't have to do that. He said, let not your heart be afraid. They had the power to keep their heart from being afraid. And with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And he was the high priest of their confession. And that that confesses from the heart is to believe with the heart and then confess with the lips. And it would come to pass. So he said, don't be afraid now. Don't do that. I done took care of all that. You ain't got no reason to be afraid. Like a daddy with holding the hand of a little one out in the dark. Said, don't be afraid. Ain't nothing out there. I'm with you. If anything starts your way, I'll get him. See, don't you be all tore up now. So he said, don't be afraid. Why be afraid? Why let him harass your mind? Why worry? Why worry? The brother used to sing out of Jamaica. Why worry? All right. So then that makes you happy, don't it? We're sitting here for the perfecting of your faith. This is the kind of faith that's going to cause you to go into the other realms, translate, go into heaven, the rapture. Is when you say, oh my God. Lord, is that man telling me the right thing? Can this be right? After all these years, I've been beat, as Brother Mike says, it beat my brains out. All these years, he'd been beating and hacking on me, and he ain't never spotted me one time, and I ain't never done one wrong in my whole life, and it's all taken care of, and it wasn't nothing to worry about to start with, and all this time, my nerves been about to go berserk on me, my mind been about to break down, and in all time, wasn't nothing to worry about to be afraid of. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Somebody said, how can I be of good cheer? Because he's overcome the world. I got to overcome the world. No, see, he overcome the world for you. You're dead to the world by his body. He said, be of good cheer. I've done took care of all of them. So you're complete in him. He's perfected forever them that are sanctified. Sanctified them once and for all. By the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has predestinated and he has sanctified. He has justified and he hath glorified. In his foreknowledge you're a finished product in Christ. So why worry? Why worry? All right, let's stand together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. For the world was condemned already. See, the world was condemned already. He sent his Son into the world to save the world from that condemnation. Did he save them, therefore, from that condemnation? I came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. For the world was condemned already. Did he, therefore, save them from the condemnation? The Bible said, there is, therefore, now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How can you walk after the flesh? Your flesh is dead. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together. I love you. I appreciate you. Hope you can understand what I'm saying and believe in what I'm saying, because this is right, folks. Let's sing the chorus, I love him. I love him. Tell me something. Knowing this, knowing that you are a child of God, knowing this, can't you now just turn your faith loose? You know, you hold your faith in bondage to all of these harassing thoughts. Now that all these things are gone and the web is broken, can't you just turn your faith loose and let it go up to God, saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. As she said, my soul doth magnify God because I believe His promise. I believe His word. See, can't you just let your whole life and soul and spirit go out to God and just bathe like a little child in the waters of heaven and saying, my God, He's healed me. He's saved me. He's blessed me. I've got all heavenly blessings. I've got all prosperity. I've got everything. And He's given me all things that pertain unto life. Hallelujah. He hath given them to you freely. Freely. All you got to do is have them freely. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm sick. Be sick no more. Oh, he said, but there's something wrong with me. But I don't have it wrong with you no more. He did it at Calvary. It was done. Somebody said, I don't know. There's no know about it. I wonder. There's no wondering about it. Say, well, I don't know where I'm good enough of not. That don't have anything to do with it. I don't know how long I got to fast and pray. Got nothing to do with it. Well, I don't know how long I got to be a Christian. Ain't got nothing to do with it. He's done it. It's over. It's finished. It's gone. That's the end of it. Even to the place that He has took us clear out of this world and put us in heaven. All over. Finished. In Christ Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. With that kind of faith, with that kind of thinking, that kind of love, man, go out and conquer the world. Woman, go out and conquer the world for Jesus. Go do it. More than conquerors through Him that loved us. That's why men, great and mighty men, did great and mighty things. You ought to do more than anybody. You ought to go forth. You ought to know everything there is as to those things that would be sickness and sorrow and poverty and heartaches and worries and whatever. You ought to annul it. Get it out of your mind. Canada's not. It's gone. It's past. That's a past event. Because that body is dead. It's gone. That sickness is gone. That problem is gone. That affliction is gone. That heartache is gone. That sorrow is gone. Where are we then? Said, rejoice forevermore. All the paths of God are peace. Rejoice forevermore, ye that are in heaven. Rejoice forevermore. Rejoice in the Spirit. Jesus. Rejoicing in the Spirit. That's rejoicing in heaven. What is deliverance? This is deliverance. Preaching this is deliverance. This is complete deliverance. This is what you believe. This is what you accept. This is what brings the things that God promised. From healing, salvation, miracle. Doesn't matter what it is. This simple conviction and believing brings it. Alright. Let's sing I Love Him again. Can you? If you love Him now, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments. Knowing that you're in this kind of condition, He's done all these wonderful things for you. Just say, glory to God, I'm going to be as holy can be. I know I'm holy now by the word of God and the blood of Jesus. And I'm brushing the world off and I'm leaving that junk off and all that worldly mind off. And I'm going to bring every thought into subjection to doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going forth and He's going to supply my every need. It don't make no difference what it is. I've got all things that pertain unto life. It don't make no difference what it is. He's given me my heart's desire. Everything is for me. I'm complete in Him. I'm riding upon the high places of the earth. Somebody say hallelujah. So I'm going to enjoy all these things. That's going to be my way of thinking. That's going to be my way of thinking from now. He said you can have whatsoever you say. Why not? Somebody said, well, how good have I got to be? You got to be as good as Jesus. If you want to have whatever you say, you can be no less good than Jesus. You must be as good as Jesus. And He has made every one of us as good as Himself. For we're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And He's perfected us forever. So that's how good you got to be. That's how good you are. So you got it all. Let's rejoice. How can you rejoice when you know them things? How can you do anything but rejoice? Unless you're an unbeliever and don't believe them. Know that you got eternal life, going to live forever. Let's sing I Love Him again. I love Him. Sing it like you mean it. Don't you really love Him for that? Love Him. He did it all for you. All because that He first loved me. purchase my salvation on Calvary. Somebody say hallelujah. Mystery. Think about it now. While you're singing it, the altars are open. While you're singing it, think about it. All of your problems is gone. All of your worries is gone. He did it all for you. It's just a matter of the way you think now. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Say not in thine heart, who shall bring him down from heaven, or bring him up from the earth. The word is nigh thee, even in thine heart, thy word of faith, even the confession of your lips. As to the high priest, you believe it in your heart, you confess it with your lips. The high priest said, that does it. I settled it in heaven. I made it right. It'll happen. See, say what you will. Believe it. Don't doubt. Ask what you will. Decree a thing in your heart. It'll come to pass. What keeps your faith from taking hold of those things? All of that harassment of doubt and wondering who you are and what you are and how long you got to do this and whether he'll consider you or is he respect a person. What I say unto one, I say unto all, Jesus said. Even give the grace to them that are out there in the world, folks. The rain on the just and the unjust. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves to be sons and daughters of God and then doubt his goodness and his love. If he so loved us while we were yet in our sins that he died for us, how much does he love us now that we're trying to please him? Let's sing that again. Think on it now. What do you want? What do you need? What's your problem? Tell him. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to him in prayer. See, let it come into your mortal body. Relax. Rest. Enter into his rest. The Bible said, therefore, there remaineth a rest for God's people. And they that have entered into his rest have ceased from their own works. You're not going to get to heaven by your works. Paul said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that is to believe in his finished works, that you're now going to get right? Good enough to get the blessings of God by your flesh? Oh, foolish Galatians. He said, that's a bewitching thing. Don't listen to that old bewitching mind. Who hath bewitched you? I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. Paul said, and this salvation is without any man's work. Jacob and Esau, never having been born, the children never having done any good or evil, that he might stand according to election, not of works, but of him that calleth. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. So, let's love the Lord. Realize that we're sons and daughters of God. Let's love the Lord. Receive his full benefit. Go on and have strength. If you've got a heart condition, forget about it. If you've got cancer, forget about it. If you've got problems with your eyes, forget about it. If you've got misery, if you've got affliction, forget about it. Start thinking him because you're not afflicted anymore. Start thinking him because you don't have a heart condition anymore. Start thinking him because he gave you all things that pertain unto life and you don't have cancer anymore. He took it. He bore it in his body on the tree. And the Bible said, by his stripes you were healed. He bore our infirmities in his body. He took it all away. That's deliverance, folks. He took it all away. Every bit of it is gone. So thank God. Don't say, oh God, I'm going to praise you. From what Brother Pike said, I'm going to start praising you because I know if I praise you and believe that I'm going to get healed. Get that out of your mind. Don't think like that. Look at it like this. Say, oh God, I thank you. Not because I'm going to get healed, but I thank you because I've been healed all the time and the devil's had me blind. I didn't recognize it. And I'm glad, Lord, because I'm happy over this situation. To observe lying vanities, all those things are lying vanities. Solomon said, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. All of it's lying vanities. To observe lying vanities is to forsake your own mercy. If you observe those things, then you forsake the mercy that was given to you in Calvary. At Calvary, your freedom was wrought. And if you observe these little old things that come about because of Satan's lies and doings, then you lose your own mercy. Glad to have you tonight. Glad to have our Brother White and Sam here with us tonight. Glad to have James Sane. He's here with us tonight. He's been gone for a good bit over in Tennessee. He's one of our people here. All the others, I noticed our brother back here again. He's with us. And can't even remember the name. And then the brother over here with Brother Richard, he's with us. Wish I could remember all of your names all the time, but I just can't do it. Glad to have our brother Gerald back here. Brother Gerald is a precious brother in the Lord to come to be with us. Others, if I don't say anything about it, I still love you. Glad to have Don here with us tonight. Sometimes you might get hurt because I don't mention you, but it isn't because I don't want to do that. I get to talking about the things of God, and you know, and I'm looking right at you, but if it doesn't register. So tonight you're my children. I love you. Let's rejoice in the Lord. You know the truth. Why not tell the world the truth? Why not go into all the world and tell the world this truth? If you know it, you're obligated to tell them. If you didn't know it, you wouldn't be obligated. But you know it now. And a lot of preachers will be looking at you. A lot of great Bible scholars, men that have spent all their life in college, and they're still trying to figure out what's going on. And you're standing there with the truth and the understanding and the power of deliverance. See, and they're like babies to you, though they've learned all their life. All right, let's sing again. Can we sing again? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Come to the Lord now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing one more time? For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I wonder if you've really anchored your soul in Christ. Do you feel that? Like the writer said, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from my Father above, sweep over my soul, the writer said, with your fathomless billows of love. Do you feel that peace tonight? Do you feel that peace? Are you anchored not to sail the wild seas anymore? See, don't be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Don't be persecuted by every thought of evil. Don't let it just toss you about. See, anchor. The Bible said truth is the anchor of the soul. Anchor. This is the truth I'm telling you. Cast anchor tonight. Tie in on that truth. Say, glory to God. God said it, and that's the way it is. That's the way it is. I ain't listening to nothing else. God said it, and that's the way it is. Stand on it. Build on the rock. Let the winds come. Like when the cyclone hit the big martyr and we prayed. I said, God, it ain't going to get it. It ain't going to get it. It was rooting up the trees, doing all kinds of things. I said, but it ain't going to get it. It ain't going to get it. It didn't get it. You love the Lord? God is so good. You know, we come to this place. We anchor and we're glad. We come to this place. Don't you like the idea of living forever? I ain't planning to die, folks. Now, you might be planning to die. You might be making your plans. But I'm not planning to die. I'm alive forever. I once was dead. But I'm alive forevermore now. See, we done gone over that hump. We done passed that bridge. That's down back down the road. You say, well, I don't believe that. Give me scripture. The Bible said we passed that bridge. We passed from death unto life. Shall never come into condemnation. Isn't that right? Death. How does death get here? I say it again. The law, transgression, sin, death. No law, no transgression, no sin, no death. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what the book says. He said, preach the word. He that God sendeth will speak his word. Isn't that right? Let's sing this little song here. If we believe all this, let's sing this little chorus. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Can you sing it again? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Come in to my heart, oh, come in to my heart, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And I wonder tonight if you really want Jesus in your heart. And I know that this isn't the altar in that you get saved by God coming into your heart. I know that. You know, that's the real true altar. But a lot of times coming down to the altar, it just makes us feel a little closer to him. Brings us a little closer together. Makes us stop and think in a different way. And it makes a lot of difference just stepping out. You know, making an effort toward God. It makes a lot of difference. And tonight, while we're singing, if you'd like to step down here, well, you're welcome to come down. I just sang a chorus or two with you from time to time, trying to share with you my heart, my feelings, so that I might affect your life a little bit toward the Lord Jesus. God wants to help you, and God wants to heal you. God wants to stand by you. He really does, folks. No one ever cared for me like Jesus, the songwriter said. No one. No one will ever care for you like Jesus. The way that Jesus cares for you, no one will ever care for you like that. When you feel you can't go any farther and you feel like there's nothing at all that can help you, then be strong in the power of His might. When you're terrorized, when fear is sweeping over you, say, it makes no difference. You said it, I'll trust you all the way. All the way. We sing that song so often. I'll go with Him through the garden. Let's sing it. You're going to have a garden experience, folks. You might as well get ready for it. Every one goes by the whipping post. Every son, he scourgeth him first. Chastening is grievous for the moment, but afterwards it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. You're going to go by the whipping post. There's no way to get around it. We might as well submit ourselves. Equip yourselves with the mind to suffer. For they that have suffered in the flesh, they've ceased from sin. If you've suffered in the flesh, as to God's will, as to submission, as to conformity to Him, as to self-denial, as to do that He wants you to do, then you've ceased from sin. Because your suffering, your willingness to put the body on the cross means that you've accepted the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. As to your efforts, as Paul said, to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering. Therefore, the body is taken away then, and there is no sin for you because you was willing to go with Him through the garden. Give me another key, friend.
I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him through the garden, and I'll go with Him, with Him all the way. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Sing it with me now. Where He leads me, I will follow, and I'll go with Him all the way. Let's sing like this now. He will give me His grace and His glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me His grace and glory, and He'll go with me all the way. Don't you love Jesus? Let's sing this chorus. It's called Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but I know now that I am found. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
It was grace that taught my heart to fear. And it was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. And when the battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown.
See these little ones standing around here, and I see Angel. She's standing there. She has such pretty little old dresses. And she's standing there, and she is so excited. She'll clap her little hands, you know, and she'll look up at me. And the little children, they know that this is real. They feel real good about it. Now watch them. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a bright and shiny crown. Battle is over. I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and shiny crown. Somebody say hallelujah. And let's clap our hands again for Jesus. Hallelujah. You really believe that you're going to wear a crown? I'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and shining crown. For when this battle is over, I'm going to wear a crown in the Jerusalem. Somebody say amen. I want you to bow your heads with me. Glad to have you here tonight. Really appreciate you coming to worship with us. To love the Lord, folks, knowing what you know. Many a persons in the dark heathen fields of Africa and India and other places around the world, Haiti's. And some are feeding their little ones to the snakes and the crocodiles. It's a reality when you get over there. Some are starving. And you knowing this great, wonderful deliverance, won't you do something about it? Won't you do something about it? You should. And you know what? In America, though there's much religion, yet many people are in captivity. Don't understand while you do understand. And inasmuch as you do understand, then the question arises again in my heart, will you do something about it? Are you willing to do something about it? You should. Get in here with us. Let's be fellers and let's get together. Let's do something for God. And if you don't feel to do it with me, well, find somebody that thinks the way you think and understands the way you understand and get with them and do something for God. Wherever you find a church, wherever you find someone that you can help, or if they can help you, then get in there with them and let's carry the gospel. Let's hurl the gospel around the world. The soon coming of Christ is at hand, folks. The Lord Jesus is coming back soon. Your faith is getting ready for it. See, when you get everything out of the way and your faith is perfect, He's got to come back. He always works by faith. Somebody says, well, I don't know when he's coming. I do. He's coming into your life the first time you believe it. He's going to do things in your life the first time you believe it. And folks, when the church gets together, the last one comes in, the last one's converted, the last one believes, and we all get together and we start believing, he's going to come back. We're going to believe him right back. Believe him right back. We're not going to resist him with all of that old muddy mind of I wonder or doubt. Jesus said, don't doubt. See, we're not going to resist him with that. We're going to get that out of our lives, and then he's going to return. Faith is going to draw him right to us and draw us right to him. Oh, there's more to this than you could ever imagine. We're on a journey to another country. While you've got your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask Brother Steve from Houston, if he will, to come up and pray. While Steve is praying with you, let's just worship the Lord tonight. Let's just love the Lord tonight. Let's let him have his way tonight. Let's go away filled with the Spirit and the love of God. Faith in the Son of God. Brother Steve.